If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 to 13. As we finish up our series, Why I Am a Christian, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. John writes, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true. And I pray, Lord, that not one person would leave this church this morning without knowing where they stand with you, knowing for sure, Lord, that they have that eternal life with you in heaven when they die. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Saturday night, November the 16th, at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson came out of retirement again and fought a boxer, an actor, and YouTube influencer named Jake Paul. And Jake Paul won that fight in a unanimous decision because he's only 27 years old and Mike Tyson is 58. Because 30 years ago, back in his prime, Iron Mike Tyson would have taken that guy's head off in the very first round. But 2 days before that fight, the host of Jazzy World asked Mike Tyson what he wanted his legacy to be after the fight was over. This is what Mike Tyson said.
"Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die, and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing."
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Did you catch that? Who cares about legacy? Because when you die, you're just dead. You're just dust. You're absolutely nothing. Gee, happy Thanksgiving. Folks, like so many other people, Mike Tyson doesn't have a clue, doesn't have any hope about any kind of eternal life after death at all. But Christians, we do, because we have that absolute guarantee, 100,000%, that we're going to live forever and ever with Jesus Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Why I Am a Christian, looking at all kinds of reasons why we really follow Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And today we finish this series by looking at another reason why we are a Christian, and that's because we have the assurance of eternal life. And to see that, we turn today to 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 to 13. In this part of 1 John chapter 5, John is telling us about eternal life. And in our text today, he tells us to have that eternal life, you've got to have Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, the most important thing of all, more than anything else, you've got to have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ too. Our text this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, tells us three things that we need to know to have that assurance of salvation that God wants us to have before it's too late. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to know to have that assurance of eternal life, we need to know there is such a thing as eternal life. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 11. Because the people tell us all kinds of things today that are supposedly eternal and forever, but they're really not. True love forever, until they broke up after homecoming. Best friends forever, until she sexted her boyfriend on Snapchat. There's forever stamps. But the problem is, if they're forever, how come the price keeps going up? 1988, Rod Stewart sang that song, Forever Young. Folks, this coming January, Rod Stewart's going to be 80 years old. Forever young, my eye. Brain cells, skin cells, hair cells die constantly every day, but fat cells live forever. No, eternal life is forever. There really is such a thing as eternal life. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us there's physical life. Scripture calls bios. There's soul or spiritual life called psuche. There's eternal life that the Bible calls zoe. And every single one of those things is a miracle gift from God. Human life is a miracle gift from God because we human beings are not just a body with physical life, we're also a soul with spiritual life. And that happens at the exact moment of conception. See what happens the nanosecond when the sperm meets the egg?
Video is under a special microscope and showing the moment of conception. The very moment that the sperm enters the egg, there is a flash of light. And the light has entered the world.
Let there be light. When the sperm hits the egg, it causes the egg to release zinc, and the zinc interacts with molecules that cause fluorescence. Now, scientists can tell you that it happens. They can't explain why it happens. I know what why it happens. That's God celebrating you coming into the world with fireworks and singing, "You Light Up My Life." That's God putting that eternal soul and that eternal spirit in that baby. Doesn't happen when the baby's conceived. Happens when the baby's baptized. Because all babies have it, whether they're baptized or not. And that's why the Bible says sex is something sacred that needs to be saved only for marriage, because it gives you the power to create a physical spiritual being who will live forever and ever in one form or another, in one place or another. There really is such a thing as eternal life. But the problem is, Adam and Eve sinned way back in the Garden of Eden. And that sin nature, that tendency to sin was passed down generation to generation, all the way down to you and me today, so that you and me and the guy behind the tree are all sinners. From the moment we're born, from the very moment of conception, Psalm chapter 51:5, we're sinners. Don't believe me?
Hey, can Mommy have the paper back? Can Mommy have that back? Alexis. Can Mommy have that back? Please?
Talk about a viper in a diaper. We're born dead in trespasses and sins, born dead to the things of God. And that doesn't mean we cease to exist, because we're not just a body, we're also spirit, and spirit lives forever and ever. But what that means is, if something isn't done about that sin, we will live forever and ever, separated from God in a place called hell. That's why God in His mercy and grace gave us Jesus Christ, so we could live forever and ever with Him in heaven instead. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There really is such a thing as eternal life. And there's all kinds of proof for it. Every culture, every civilization throughout the world, throughout the history of the world, has had some concept of eternal life. And why? Because Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, God has placed that sense in the heart of every person who has ever lived. Every person is created knowing that there is some kind of life after death. Amen. Science proves that there is eternal life. The law of conservation says all matter and energy in the universe is never destroyed. It just keeps on existing in another form, which human beings is exactly what's going to happen to us too. There's near-death experiences. And I realized some of them are frauds. I had a near-death experience when I was 11 years old and spilled green spray paint all over my mom's kitchen floor. But some near-death experiences are legit. 2022, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, Los Angeles, California. A 37-year-old born-again Christian woman named Allison Gray, who was born blind, went into cardiac arrest and was pronounced dead. An hour and 13 minutes later, she revived. And even though she was still stone blind, she told the doctors, and when she was gone, she saw herself above her hospital bed, staring down at her own body. And she could describe exactly what she looked like, even though she never had any concept of what she looked like or what other people looked like. She described herself to a T. She described what the doctors in that room looked like to a T. She described everything in that room, all the objects. Then those objects were really there. She had a concept of colors. People don't tell me that there is not a perfect life after this one for people who trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen. The greatest proof for eternal life of all is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because regardless of what the skeptics say, here's the bare bones facts that nobody can deny. Jesus' tomb was really empty on that first Easter Sunday morning. Over 500 people saw Him after He rose from the dead. And the disciples were willing to die for the claim that He rose from the dead. The historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There really is such a thing as eternal life. But the problem is, people today don't even talk about it. because they don't even want to think about the possibility of dying. We do all kinds of things in America today to disguise the fact that death is real. We don't have funerals in America anymore. We have celebration of life services. Only 17% of Americans have a pre-planned, prepaid, prearranged funeral. You go to a visitation, people are looking down in the casket and they say, well, doesn't she look good? No, she doesn't look good. She looks dead because she's dead. I've been to visitations where people are telling jokes in front of an open casket. Don't you realize that's supposed to make you understand that that's going to happen to you someday? The famous line from the Barbie movie, don't you people ever think about dying? Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, which means because of our sin, every one of us owes God one death, which means unless Jesus Christ comes first one of these days, every single one of us here is going to die. It's just a matter of when and where and how. People, you could die at any time. Last Monday in New York City, a psycho went on a stabbing spree and killed a woman and a construction worker and a guy who was just on his way to go fishing in the East River. The God who knows the number of hairs on your head also knows the number of days you're going to live. And people, listen to me. Listen, before it's too late, you have got to have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because for crying out loud, how many more reminders do we need? Last August the 10th in Brazil, an ATR 72 turbo plane took off from Cascavel to Sao Paulo with 57 passengers and 5 crew members on board. But about 50 miles northwest of the airport in Sao Paulo, over the city of Vinhedo, a guy in his backyard took that video with a cell phone.
Porra! Caralho, bicho! Nossa! Fudeu!
That plane just death spiraled all the way to the ground, crashed and exploded in a million pieces, killing everybody on board. The worst airline disaster since January of 2023. Experts said there was a problem with the de-icing system and the pilot lost total control. And my God, people, you talk about horrifying! Because can you imagine what the people on that plane were going through? Well, one of the people on that plane took a video with their phone of what those passengers were doing just seconds before that plane started falling out of the sky. And you see it right there. Some of them are just sleeping. Some of them are looking out the window. Others are scrolling on their phone. Others are flipping through a newspaper. No clue. But they are 90 seconds away from dying. Luke chapter 20, verse 17. Do you not know that at this moment, your very life could be required of you?
Cell phone video captures the airliner's final moments, dropping thousands of feet in just seconds, falling out of the sky over a residential neighborhood outside Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Would the passengers on board know something was wrong at that point?
I hate to say it, but I think that would be a terrifying end of the flight.
Let me ask you this morning, what do you think those passengers did? What decisions do you think they made? What choices do you think they made knowing that they were going to die? People, listen to me, you could die at any time. One of the biggest stars in all of European soccer was Miklós Fehér, born in Hungary. Played for Team Benfica in Portugal for the last 9 years. But last January the 25th, during a soccer match in Portugal, that happened. No history of heart problems. Healthy as a horse, 24 years old. And yet one step he's playing soccer, the next step he keels over with a grabber, and all attempts to revive him failed. And Miklós Fehér died. People, listen to me. If that could happen to a world-class athlete in the prime of his life, you don't think that could happen to you and me? 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, there is but a step between us and death. Amen. Last June the 4th, a famous steam locomotive called the Empress was traveling through Mexico City, Mexico, and hundreds of people turned out to see it pass by. And one of them was a 29-year-old woman named Dulce Hernandez, who went there with her 6-year-old son and 5 other kids from his school. And even before the train got there, a track announcer kept telling people to stay back from the tracks as the train went by. But of course, Mom wanted to get a selfie and got too close. And that happened. Dolce Hernandez was hit in the back of the head by a handrail on the front of that engine and was killed instantly, right in front of her son and all of his friends. Job 4:14, your life is just a vapor. Here 1 second and gone the next. Just like that. People, listen to me. Listen to me. Every single one of us is 24/7, 365, one measly little heartbeat away from eternity. The God of this Bible really does hold your very life in the palm of His hands, and not one of us is guaranteed any certain amount of time. But because you're not just a body, you're also a spirit, you're not going to really die, which means you're going to spend eternity in either one place or the other. It's either heaven or hell, depending on what you do right now. You choose now where you're going to be then. So today, right here, right now, you choose Jesus Christ, and you choose to have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ before your time is up and it's too late for sure. The first thing that we need to know to have that assurance of eternal life, we need to know there is such a thing as eternal life. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to know to have that assurance of eternal life. We not only need to know there is such a thing as eternal life, we also need to know that it's only found in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we see here also in verse 11. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So you can't have the life without the Son, because the Son is the life. John 11:25, He's the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, He's the way, the truth, and the life. The ad for Lent Truffle says life is a ball. No, life is Christ. Life is a beach and then you die. No, life is Christ. And after you die, then you go to heaven and live with Him forever and ever. That's what life is all about. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. You got to have Jesus Christ. And eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only one who ever did anything to make that eternal life possible. Because Jesus is the only one who ever did anything about our sin that keeps us separated from God and on our way to hell. Back in Old Testament times, God told His people when they sinned to take a bull or a goat or a sheep and sacrifice it, and the blood would atone for or cover their sin. But because those bulls and goats and sheep were just animal substitutes and not human beings, they were just symbols that pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Every year at Passover, over 1 million Jews would flock to the city of Jerusalem for the festival. 250,000 family units, and each one sacrificing the lamb. So there was more blood than the Chicago stockyards. And that went on for 1,600 years until Passover 33 AD, when Jesus Christ was finally sacrificed, crucified on the cross, to really pay the price for our sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, because He took our place and bore our sin and died our death. Back in the French Revolution, they had a custom. Any person who was convicted of a capital crime and sentenced to be executed was put on what was called the death cart. And people from all over would turn out and line both sides of the road that led to the guillotine, where that person would be executed. And they called that road the Miracle Mile, because at any point along the way, if somebody stepped off the side of the road and said, "Stop, stop," and told the executioner, "I want to take his place," the guilty person would get out. And the innocent person would get in. And then they would go on and take their place and die their death for him. You know where this is going, don't you? Well, one day, July 21st, 1984, Kevin Garner was in that death cart. Guilty and condemned. And on his way to die, like I deserve to do. Absolutely hopeless. But then all of a sudden along the way, somebody stopped from the side of the road and said, "Stop, stop." And he opened the door. He said, "Kevin, you can get out." And I noticed he had nail prints in his hands. He said, "Kevin, let me help you out of that death cart and out of that sentence to be executed and to go to hell." So I got out and he got in. And he closed the door. He said, "Now go live your life for me. And for the last 40 years, that is exactly what I've tried to do. And then he went on to a hill called Calvary. And he took my place. Amen. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. Because he wasn't lost, I was. To have that assurance of eternal life, you have got to have Jesus Christ, because no other God, no other person in any other faith system has ever done anything like that when it comes to our sin. Amen. And yet, country singer Willie Nelson has the gall to say this: I believe all roads lead to the same place. There's many ways to God and what everybody is really looking for. That's what 75 years of pot smoking does to your brain. There is only one way, and Jesus Christ is that one way. You've got to have Christ. Amen. You say, but Kevin, I'm a good person. So what? So was Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, except for the fact that he murdered and cannibalized 17 young men. He was a really nice guy. He got all kinds of Employee of the Month awards where he worked. Jesus said, Mark chapter 10, verse 18, not one of us is good. Yes, we all do good things, but we also do wrong things and bad things and evil things. And all the good things we do never make up for the bad things that we do. Because this ain't like giving an I'm sorry gift to get your ex back. Jay-Z gave Beyonce a $1 million 1959 Rolls-Royce convertible after he cheated on her the fourth time. But this is a lot more serious than that. Because your sin has violated the righteousness of a mind-blowingly holy God. And because of that, that God, 2 seconds from now, could take your ever-loving breath away. Do you honestly believe that you can buy off that kind of a God by going to church with your wife once? Or giving $100 a Samaritan's purse? Or only having sex with your boyfriend on weekends? You gotta be kidding me. The only thing that satisfies God in His wrath is the cross of Jesus Christ. You've gotta have Christ. And you can't just know about Him. You've got to know Him in here. John chapter 1 verse 18, you've got to personally receive Him and believe on His name. You've got to be born again. You've got to confess your sins to God and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. Have you done that? That's the only thing that gives us that assurance of eternal life. Billie Eilish sings that song, "All good girls go to hell." And you know what? She's right. Because good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people do. Heaven right now is filled to bustin' with all kinds of really good people who drove 55 and who recycled and who wore their retainer at night. People who are probably a lot gooder than I am. You say, well, Kevin, why are they in hell? Very simple. They committed the absolute worst, number one, most unpardonable sin of all. They simply didn't believe in Jesus. John chapter 3 verse 36, he who does not believe is condemned and will not have eternal life. Hell is not filled right now with people Jesus Christ rejected. Hell is filled with people right now who rejected Jesus Christ. Amen. You've got to have that assurance of salvation with Jesus Christ. Amen. And folks, it's that assurance of salvation that you have and that you have about the people that you love that gets you through it. When you lose them. And it hurts. Because that person is gone. But the love that you have for that person is still there. Rule of life number one, everybody dies. Rule of life number two, there ain't nothing you can do about rule number one. And until Jesus comes back, that's just the way it is. And a memorial service and some flowers and how great thou art and a ham sandwich doesn't cut it. Because when the funeral is over, everybody else goes home and gets on with their lives. You feel like your life is over. Because a part of you is missing. I'll never forget that day, February 1997, when me and Sue and my dad, Robert Garner, found out the results of his MRI that my dad had a brain tumor. Me and Sue were with my dad at Dr. James Daly's office in Watseka, and that doctor purposely pushed our appointment to the very last appointment of the day, right before closing time, because he knew. And I will never forget when my dad found out he had a brain tumor, he looked at me and he said, "That's it. I'm done." And he was right. That brain tumor had already destroyed his short-term memory. Can you imagine living your life scared to death because you cannot remember anything that happened just 2 seconds before? The picture you see on the screen is the last Christmas that we had with my dad, 1997. You can tell by looking in his eyes, he wasn't really there. My dad died 26 years ago this coming Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. And I still miss him like crazy. I know exactly what it's like, people, to stand beside that open grave and watch that casket with that person in it that you love more than anything else on earth be lowered into the ground. And the only thing that gets me through it, I know that my dad, April 8th, 1997, prayed with me to receive Christ, and he got saved, Mercy Center Hospital in Aurora, before his biopsy. So I know where my dad is right now. My dad is in heaven with Jesus. Do we understand? Do we understand the blessing that it is to have that assurance of eternal life for the people that we love? Last September the 28th, Hurricane Helene slammed into the Florida coast, traveled 500 miles inland, and then jumped record-breaking rainfall on parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And one of the hardest hit places was around Asheville, North Carolina, where they got 15 inches of rain and walls of water 30, 40 feet high were sweeping away everything in its path. And one of the hardest hit families was about 20 miles outside of Asheville, Megan Dry and her parents, Michael and Nora, and her 7-year-old son, Micah, all born-again Christians. And that little 7-year-old boy was the love of that woman's life next to Jesus Christ. Named Micah, after Micah chapter 6, verse 8, her favorite Bible verse that her father had taught her and her sister all the while they were growing up. And that little boy loved trucks and Legos, and more than anything else, he wanted to be a superhero, like something right out of Marvel Comics. Well, September the 28th, floodwaters started pouring into their house so fast they climbed up to the second floor, and when the water still kept rising, they climbed out on the roof. And Micah took his trucks and a blanket and his dog Bella up there with him. And Megan Dry took that picture from the roof of the house showing how desperate their situation really was. And they were praying and crying out to God, and she called 911. But EMS was so swamped themselves, they couldn't even answer. And Megan called her sister in Florida and told her to pray for them because the water was so powerful. They were even seeing cars and even 18-wheelers being swept along in the river. And then all of a sudden the flooded house collapsed and they all fell in the water and were being swept down the river. And Megan grabbed onto her dad because he didn't know how to swim. And then Megan saw her mom trying to grab onto Micah, but she got pulled under and Micah went under too. But then this is what Megan said happened with her son.
You know, I'm so proud of my son because in his last moments, he wasn't screaming for me. He was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I hear you. Jesus, I'm calling upon you. And his wildest dreams and everything that he wanted to be was a superhero. And that was his goal in life. And instead, he's my hero because he reached for something past flesh, past human, past anything that even grown adults, I think, would reach for. My son called out to the one God Almighty. And I think at that moment he was rescued and he became my hero.
And Megan was trying to hold on to her dad with one hand. The other hand, she was trying to hang on to a tree branch. But the current was so strong it pulled her dad away from her. So she grabbed onto that tree with both hands and held on for dear life for 5 hours. For 5 hours, the current against that tree and all kinds of chunks of debris in the river pushed her under the water over and over again, and she would fight like hell to get back to the surface and keep breathing for 5 hours until she finally realized there wasn't anybody around who was even looking for her who was going to rescue her. And the Spirit of God spoke to her heart and said this, be still. Don't fight the water. Just let go and let the water carry you where you need to be rescued. So Megan Dry let go. Half mile down the river, a husband and wife pulled her out of the water with a swimming pool hook. A couple days later, they found Megan Dry's parents, both dead, about another quarter mile further down. Then they found the little dog, Bella, and the little dog was dead too. 30 yards beyond the dog, they found Micah, and he was dead too. So that woman lost her father, her mother, and her 7-year-old son, the only child she had, all in the same day. You talk about something, a hell to go through. And how did she get through it? How did she deal with it? This is what she said in the interview.
I want them to remember that there is joy beyond the pain, that while we are wrapped in sorrow and while we are wrapped in grief and overwhelming regret for all the things that we could have done that we didn't, that they are happy and they are joyful, and they are all around us looking down, and my son couldn't be more proud at me for hanging on. My parents were probably lifting me up when I was in between the two things that were holding me down. They are rejoicing at the fact that I now can tell them what God did for me, because it was God. He said, be still, I am in control, and you will pass on. This is a backfire for the devil, because he tried to take me out, and here I am sharing the word that my 7-year-old is a hero and my parents live on in God's glory.
That is the assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's the assurance that woman had, that the people that she loved and lost are with Jesus. And how do we know that for sure? Well, not only because of the promise of God's word, but also because of that. The very next morning after that flood, a born-again Christian woman in St. Louis, Missouri, named Elizabeth London, woke up crying. Didn't know anything about Megan and Micah Fry, didn't know them from Adam and Eve, didn't know the family existed, didn't know anything had happened to them at all. Didn't know the story. Woke up crying because God was telling her as an artist to paint a picture of Jesus holding on to the hand of a little boy who had just died, and Jesus was walking that little boy into heaven. And God even gave that woman a title for that picture. She was supposed to call it, "Could you please tell my mommy I'm safe now?" And then Elizabeth London sat down and wrote a poem to go along with the picture. A poem that was speaking like a little 5-year-old, a little boy would speak to Jesus. And even though, again, Elizabeth London had no knowledge of that family whatsoever, she had no idea what happened in North Carolina. In that poem, she has that little boy telling Jesus that he likes trucks and he has a favorite blanket, just like Micah Dry had a truck and a blanket on top of the house when the flood came. In that poem, that little boy asks if his dog Bella is in heaven, just like Micah Dry had a dog named Bella. In that poem, the little boy asks if he can find his grandpa in heaven. He knows his grandfather was in heaven, just like Micah Dry has a grandfather in heaven right now. In that poem, that little boy asked Jesus, "Can you tell my mommy that I'm a superhero now?" Just like Micah Dry always wanted to be a superhero. And then that woman painted that picture to go along with the poem. Well, the very next day she heard on national news that a woman named Megan Dry had lost her son Mike and both of her parents in a flood in Asheville, North Carolina. So she called that mother. And this is what she said. "When I talked to the mom, she cried, and I haven't stopped crying either. And she was so grateful because she said that the boy I painted was her son. And she was so grateful for the peace that came over her when she read the title and the words that told her son was safe. And she told me how that little boy had called out to Jesus to save him. She talked about how he brought his favorite blanket everywhere and his dog named Bella and how he'd always look for his grandpa. And she knew Jesus would be looking down on him and smiling while he was talking to him. She said how grateful she was because the painting and the poem reminds her every day that her son is with Jesus and that he's safe." People, you talk about confirmation from God himself that the people that that woman loved and lost are in heaven with Jesus. That's assurance of salvation times a trillion. And don't tell me that mom didn't need to hear that big time. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. However long ago you lost somebody that you love very much and your life is still torn up about it because you've never been the same since. But listen to me, if that person you lost was a Christian, if they were a believer, you really didn't lose them. Because if you know where something is, it ain't lost. You know exactly where that person is. They are in heaven with Jesus Christ, and no time at all you are going to see them again. So as hard as it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, you do not grieve as people who have no hope. The most important thing in the whole wide world is to have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ yourself. The second most important thing in the whole wide world is to have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ for the people that you love. The second thing that we need to know to have that assurance of eternal life, we need to know it's only found in Jesus Christ. Go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to know to have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We not only need to know there is such a thing as eternal life, we not only need to know that it's only found in Jesus Christ. Third, we need to know that we can know. We need to know that we can know that we have that assurance, that we do have eternal life. And that's exactly what we see in verses 12 and 13. And how do we know? Well, here's the test. And it couldn't be more clear. Easiest Greek in the entire New Testament is in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Notice all the little one-syllable words here so everybody can understand it. How do you know for sure whether or not you have eternal life? Very simple. No ifs, ands, or buts, no gray areas, no exceptions. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And not only can you know, God wants you to know, so you don't worry about it. So it's not maybe, might be, could be. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. Verse 13, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. So let me ask you this morning, you have that assurance? Do you know that you have eternal life? Because most people don't even think about it at all. A woman named Maxine Mentzer from Cascade, Iowa, made the best Christmas cookies in the entire world. And she would never, ever, ever give the recipe to anybody who asked her for it. So when she died, she had that cookie recipe chiseled on her tombstone. Because she said the only way anybody was ever going to get that cookie recipe was over her dead body. I guess she was right. YouTuber Rosanna Pacino took her father's ashes, mixed them with dirt, grew a marijuana plant, rolled the leaves and smoked it. She smoked her own dad. Talk about letting your loved ones go to pot. Where in the world's any idea of eternal life? There is none. So let me ask you, do you have that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ? You say, well, Kevin, I'm trying to believe. Folks, there is not one single verse anywhere in this Bible where God says, try to believe. For crying out loud, make up your mind. You either believe it or you don't. Well, Kevin, I don't feel like I'm saved. So what? Salvation is not a feeling that you have. It's something that you have and that you know. What's salvation supposed to feel like anyway? Salvation is not supposed to feel like anything. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Well, Kevin, I'm afraid I've lost my salvation. If you're worried about it, you ain't lost it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. You ain't lost anything. And listen, you better have that assurance of eternal life. Because the Bible says after you die, you're going to stand before God in judgment. Amen. And you are going to be held accountable for every single thing that you have ever said, ever done, and ever thought. Because it's all been written down. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, the books will be opened. See the big paper shredder truck? That's been parked in front of the DOJ in Washington, D.C. all this past week. Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray getting all rid of all the evidence of all the lawfare that they've been doing for the last 4 years. That's okay. God's got a record of it up in heaven. It's all been downloaded on His hard drive. Everything is going to come out in the wash. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. And the good news is, if you're a Christian, your record has already been deleted and erased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you might know that you have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. You got that assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. That means when you die, you're going to heaven. And notice, no waiting period, no soul sleep. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, the nanosecond, you are absent from the body, you are instantaneously with the Lord. He who has the Son has life. Not will have, already has. So Christians, you're not going to get eternal life when you die. You've got that eternal life right now. You got it when you got saved. This guy right here has it. Just because there's some snow on the roof don't mean there still ain't no fire in the fireplace. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's the eternal life. So when it comes time to die, you just move from this life on up to a better one. And that's exactly what she did. Jane Vogt, part of this church, her and Dan for over 40 years. 6 years ago, she beat breast cancer. This past year, it came back with a vengeance. Her lungs, her bones, her liver, all over the place. Jane never did any radiation, any chemo, because the doctors told her day one, there was nothing they could do to cure it or to make it go away. And I never heard Jane Vogt complain one single time or be mad at God for allowing it to happen. Amen. I saw Jane Vogt the day after she was diagnosed up at Copley Hospital. You know what she said to me? She said, if God doesn't heal me, I just get to jump to the front of the line. Yeah. which meant she was going to get to heaven before all the rest of us were. That's the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. God does not guarantee us a perfect life, but He does guarantee us a perfect eternity. Amen. Do you have that assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ? Because listen to me. If you don't, when you die, you're going to go to hell. And I say that because Kevin Garner has never been accused of being seeker sensitive. It is not my job to stand up in front of people Sunday after Sunday and blow your nose and powder your butt. I don't preach to fill up a church. I preach to try to keep people from going to hell. And there's a difference. So you got to realize the gospel is not when you die, then you choose to go to heaven or go to hell. You're already going to hell. Because you were conceived in sin. So the gospel is this unbelievably, mind-blowingly holy God, and His mercy and love and grace gives you a chance to be forgiven through the cross of Jesus Christ so you don't go to hell. You say, well, Kevin, I don't believe that God would ever send me to hell. God sent Jesus. You send yourself. Back in 1971, the Soviet military was drilling a huge underground natural gas deposit in the Karakum Desert in Turkmenistan. And that thing caught on fire so bad the whole ground collapsed and it formed that huge burning crater. And over the years, no matter what scientists have tried, they have never been able to put that fire out. And because Turkmenistan has the largest underground natural gas deposits anywhere on the face of the earth, that fire is going to burn forever and ever. And anything that goes in there never comes out. People look at that because that is an exact picture of what the Bible says hell is like. Eternal fire that burns forever and ever and ever. And anything that goes in there, any person who goes there, never comes out again. Listen to me. Don't go to hell. Because if you go to hell, you'll never get out. And we need to understand, the Bible calls hell eternal death. That does not mean when you go to hell, you burn up in 2 seconds and then you cease to exist forever and ever and ever. Eternal death means you keep dying over and over and over again forever and ever and ever. Amen. And why is that? Because if you reject the payment that Jesus Christ made for your sin 2,000 years ago at the cross, that means you got to pay for your own sin separated from God in a place called hell. And because we human beings cannot pay off our own sin, Psalm chapter 49, verses 7 and 8, that means you will keep paying for your sin forever and ever and ever in that place called hell. Amen. You go to hell, you'll never get out. And all the stop, drop, and roll ain't never, ever going to put those flames out. And your first night in hell, you will remember every sermon that you ever heard about it. You'll remember every single altar call that you blew off and ignored. You will remember every invitation you got from this dumpy little pastor at Fox River Church begging you to give your heart to Christ, and it'll be nobody's fault but your own. Right. You don't trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Any second, you could be gone and you'll be there. Family of four in the SUV, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, on the way to Grandma's house at Christmas time. Instantly killed. Just like that. That was you. You don't know Jesus Christ. You're going to go to hell. You say, well, Kevin, are you trying to scare me? I will do absolutely everything I possibly can to keep you from going there. God doesn't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Your friends and family do not want you to go to hell. The people who are in hell right now do not want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. And where is heaven exactly? Because ever since the Hubble telescope was launched back in 1990 and then the James Webb telescope in 2021, scientists of NASA have been able to go where no man has gone before, to look further into space than anybody ever has before, and to see things in space that nobody's ever seen before. But because of that, over the last 35 years, all kinds of yahoos have claimed that NASA has found the heavenly city Jerusalem. They found heaven out there in stellar space and have pictures of it. And that the government is trying to cover it up and keep it a secret. Probably Donald Trump's fault. Back in 1994, that article came out claiming that NASA scientists have photographed the heavenly city Jerusalem. And that a woman who works at NASA is the one who leaked the picture out. The problem is that article is found in a magazine from a grocery store rack called World Weekly News that also has articles like Werewolf Alien, Father of My Baby, and Magic Pet Hippo Turns Boy into Gay Zombie. And you can tell that picture of heaven is photoshopped because the light that's coming from the back of it, supposedly around, it's all bent at all kinds of different angles. That never happens when a real object in outer space is photographed by an orbital telescope. And not only that, but the article says the woman from NASA who supposedly leaked the picture, a Dr. Marcia Mason, there's no record of any Marcia Mason ever working at NASA. So, sorry to pop your balloon, but that picture's a fake. Nobody has ever taken a picture of heaven. Same with that thing called Herbig Haro 901 in the part of the Carina Nebula known as the Pillars of Creation. With pillars of gas, star gas, thousands of light years tall. And that picture there shows what looks like towers built in the middle of the pillars. A picture that TikTok claims was taken by NASA showing the gates of heaven. But the problem is what you see there isn't just a picture of outer space. It's a work of art by a guy named Adam Ferris who takes actual pictures taken by the Hubble and James Webb telescope and adds pixels to them to make them look like there's intelligent life living there. So that's why it kind of looks like a city or a gateway, but it's not. It's not real. And that one isn't either. That's really a weird-looking rectangular-shaped nebula about 2,300 light-years away from the Earth called HD 44179. And people are calling it the stairway to heaven because the nebula looks like it has rungs like a ladder does. But it's not a stairway to real heaven because those things that look like rungs on a ladder are just being formed by the irregular pulse pattern of a dying star in the center of the nebula. So even though the nebula itself is real, it's not a stairway to heaven at all. I could go on and on and on. And do you know why every picture that somebody tries to show you of real heaven, this side of eternity, is a fake? You know why they're all fake? Because the Bible tells us heaven has three levels. First heaven is Earth's atmosphere and everything around the planet. Second heaven, the Bible says, is outer space with all the galaxies and the stars and the planets. Third heaven is where God lives, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, and where we're going to be someday when we're either raptured or where we go there when we die. But the problem is, except for Jesus, who came from there, the only person who has ever seen the third heaven is Paul, who got taken to the third heaven in the Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. And he's learned inexpressible things, he said, which means things about it that human language can't describe and human reasoning can't understand. So except for Jesus and Paul, nobody can ever show you a picture of real heaven because nobody has ever been there this side of eternity. And not only that, heaven isn't just an outer space. It's a whole nother dimension. It's a spiritual, supernatural dimension. So no man-made telescope could ever look into it or take a picture of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived the glory that God has prepared for those who love Him. So all that malarkey about all those pictures of heaven that we've ever seen before, none of those things are real. But you know what? That thing is real. Hasn't been photoshopped, hasn't been manipulated. That's a galaxy called M51, the Whirlpool Galaxy, 21 million light years away from planet Earth, discovered by NASA in 1992. And what you see right here is the entrance to a monster, massive black hole right at the center of that galaxy. A black hole entrance that's 10 million times the size of our sun. And this line that goes like this across, scientists say that that's the edge of a dust ring that's being sucked into that black hole right now. But that perpendicular line that goes up and down, scientists say they have no idea what that is, and they have no idea why it's there. But you know what? I know what it is. And I know why it's there. Because a black hole is a perfect illustration of what the Bible says hell is like. Pitch black and total dark. And anything that goes in there never comes out again, including light. And anything that goes into a black hole is destroyed forever. A black hole just keeps crushing and crushing and making it more and more dense. And that thing can never get out of there. It can never escape. Hopeless and helpless. Just like the Bible says hell is. And notice that line that goes like this, and then the perpendicular line that goes like this. What does that look like? It looks like the cross of Jesus Christ. And notice, where is it? It is right smack dab at the entrance to that black hole. People don't tell me that God didn't put that thing in M51 galaxy, and don't tell me that God didn't put that right in the front of that massive black hole to show you that the only thing standing between you and hell, the only thing that's keeping you from that hopeless and helpless darkness, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Do you know why God shows us in the universe what hell is like, but He doesn't show us in the universe what heaven is like? Because you're already going to hell. So the only choice you have, the only hope you have, the only thing you can do is look to the cross, turn to the cross, cling to the cross of Jesus Christ so you don't go to hell. And there's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. That is exactly what you need to do today, right now, right now. Because there's people sitting in this church listening to this message, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You have never prayed to receive Christ. You got to come to Jesus Christ right now. And I know what everybody is saying. You say, Kevin, I'll do it tomorrow. Listen to me. Not one of us sitting in this church listening to this sermon can say with 100% absolute assurance that we've got it tomorrow. Amen. Tomorrow's in the hands of God. Amen. The only time that we can have any 100% absolute assurance about it all is right now. You're sitting in this church right now. You're listening to this sermon right now. The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now. And listen to me. The more you blow off God, the easier it gets to ignore Him the next time. The more you put off responding to an altar call, the harder your heart gets and the duller your ears get. And they're harder to His to hear Him the next time He speaks. Listen to me. Come a time, He's going to stop speaking. And the warnings are going to stop too. The Bible does not say tomorrow is a day of salvation. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. You need to come to Jesus Christ right now. And listen to me. You could die anytime. There are people listening to this message, maybe right here in this room. This is the last chance you're ever going to get. This is it. Is there a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl sitting in this room listening to this sermon? You're not saved and you know it. You are not ready to stand before God and you know it. You say, Kevin, I'm going to hell and I know it and I don't want to. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. If that's you, the nanosecond this service is over, you need to get up out of your seat. You come to the front of this church and you pray with one of us up here and give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Today. Today. Now. Now is the time. 1 30-second prayer from the Spirit in your heart can save you from a trillion eternities in hell. Life is way too short, hell is way too hot, and eternity is way too long for you to say no today. While He's speaking to your heart, the last time you may ever hear Him, you've got to come forward after this song is over and give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ.